listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by one of the country's preeminent authorities on the Hermit Kingdom, that very difficult to understand and very difficult to predict North Korean regime of Kim Jong-un. This is a time when we especially need the expertise of Dr. Bruce Bechtol. He is these days an associate professor of political science at Angelo State University, but has had a distinguished record of monitoring and mastering the strange behavior of the North Koreans for many years, including some 20 of them on active duty in the U.S. Marine Corps, where he had a variety of positions responsible for this particular portfolio, including as an intelligence officer at the Defense Intelligence Agency. He is the author of numerous books, and they include, among the most recent, North Korea and Regional Security in the Kim Jong-un Era. Always welcome here, especially at a moment when the UN Security Council is expected, as we speak, to impose new sanctions on North Korea. We'll find out why and more with Bruce Bechtol. Welcome back, sir. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. It's always good to be on your show.
So before we get into the particulars of this UN sanctions resolution, which is expected to be approved in the course of the day as we speak, the North Koreans have been engaging, Dr. Bechtol, in several very provocative acts. And I'd like you just to remind us of what they are and give us a sense, as a longtime intelligence analyst, of what they mean, what they portend in terms of further behavior and dangerous capabilities on the part of the North Koreans.
Well, as you know, they engaged in their fourth nuclear test. It was about 6 kilotons. This was in January, and that would be about the same size as the bomb that was dropped in Nagasaki. So, you know, not huge, but still very deadly, and showing that they're continuing with their nuclear weaponization efforts. There were elements, according to the press, of thermonuclear weapons technology in that test. The jury's still out on how much was involved in that test. But the bottom line is, it was a 6-kiloton nuclear test, again successful, again likely something that they could mate with a warhead that would go on a long-range missile.
We're visiting with Dr. Bruce Bechtol, one of the country's leading authorities on North Korea, today an associate professor at Angelo State University. And Bruce, you were talking about the possibility that the North Koreans could actually weaponize this this device and put it on a ballistic missile. There's been some thought that that's beyond the capabilities of the North Koreans. Are you, you're persuaded that they're in the zone now, hey?
Well, the proof is already, or I should say overwhelming evidence already exists, that they can put a highly enriched uranium warhead with a 500-kilogram warhead, I should say, on a Nodong missile that can hit Japan. But we also have testimony from both General Scaparotti, the commander of U.S. forces in Korea, and from the director of Naval Intelligence, and from the commanding general of Northern Command, that their assessment is, in fact, the DOD assessment is, that the North Koreans now have the capability to put a warhead, a nuclear warhead, on an ICBM that can hit the United States. They've actually said that in congressional testimony. So that's where we're at right now.
And this means that fundamentally a very dangerous regime has now got the capacity to put us in their crosshairs. And even if you weren't going to use a ballistic missile to deliver a weapon directly to a city in this country, there's been concern expressed by some like Dr. Peter Vincent Pry and former CIA Director Jim Woolsey, as you know, Bruce Bechtol, that they may use a satellite as a means of delivering what could be an electromagnetic pulse attack. Talk, if you would, a little bit about your thoughts on that subject.
Sure. Well, you know, there's not as much evidence out there on that as there is on the missile and on the nuclear development, because those are harder things to hide, obviously. But definitely, within the past 2 years, especially the past year, the evidence has become available that shows, at the very least, this program is in development in North Korea. We don't know how far along it is, but what we do know for sure is that North Korea has an electromagnetic pulse weaponization program in development, and we know that they got that from the Russians. So this is certainly a concern, especially considering that the North Koreans just for the second time put a satellite into space. So this is something that hopefully people will be looking at closely.
And, you know, when you were talking earlier, Bruce Bechtol, about the size of the yield of the device that was exploded underground in North Korea recently, I was wondering about two things. One is the possibility that instead of being optimized for blast, it was a device that was optimized to produce gamma rays, which would be precisely what you would want for an electromagnetic pulse weapon. Or possibly, secondarily, that the Russians, the Chinese, and others may have taught the North Koreans how to decouple their weapons testing so that they might be able to reduce the seismic signatures of a blast. Again, as a former intelligence guy, what do you make of those two possibilities here, based on what we know?
Well, that's certainly a possibility, especially with the Russians, because the Russians, as you know, in the early 1990s, went through this phenomenon where they lost a whole bunch of their scientists. They basically went rogue and went to places like Iran and North Korea. And we know several, certainly for sure, missile technicians and scientists entered North Korea in 1993, not on behest of the Russian government, but on their own because the North Koreans were paying them. There's certainly no reason why nuclear scientists wouldn't have done the same thing. In fact, it's probably likely.
Well, I wonder how confident we can be that they weren't sent there by the Russians. There was you know, evidence, as we've discussed, Bruce Bechtol, before, that the Russians have used, as you've said, gave the North Koreans a super EMP weapons design, and I'm reasonably sure that that was done at the highest levels of the Russian government, not by rogue scientists. But it's a fascinating story, and the ballistic missile program has been moving forward at pace. I wanted to ask you finally, when you look at all of this, we're often told that the solution to this kind of bad behavior lies not in Pyongyang, respectful, but in Beijing, and that we can press the Chinese to rein in their clients, the North Koreans. I'd be interested in your thoughts on the nature of the Chinese-North Korean relationship at the moment, but also whether it serves the interests of China at the moment to have their clients, or puppets, if you will, behaving badly at a time when, as Gordon Chang, among others, has pointed out on this program, the Chinese are acting rather aggressively, and a distraction from their efforts might be just what they have in mind.
Well, that's very true. And, as you know, we only have to look to precedent to see how much pressure China has put on North Korea. China just, since 1994, has either fought sanctions, dragged their feet on sanctions, even as they did this time. It took them several weeks to get these sanctions through. Or when they finally allow sanctions to be initiated, they just don't enforce them. So, even if these sanctions that we're seeing that are about to pass, hopefully today, Tuesday, go through, there is nothing to show us in past precedent that the Chinese will actually enforce them. And if that doesn't happen, that means North Korea will continue to get their fuel from China. North Korea will continue to have trade with China. And, putting pressure on China simply doesn't work because China does not want North Korea to collapse. So China will never put too much pressure on North Korea if they think it will start to make the regime implode.
We'll be following this closely, as will you, I know. Dr. Bruce Bechtol at Angelo State University, we're appreciative of the work you do there, as well as the work you have done in the United States Marine Corps and the Defense Intelligence Agency and elsewhere. Next up, we'll be speaking with Rebecca Heinrichs. We'll get a stock taking from her of what we should be doing at our end about this North Korean nuclear threat and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.